Welcome, all of you, especially moms and my wife, Julie. Come on up. She's going to join me this morning. And you've been doing a great job, moms, and we love you so much. And we hope you really enjoy this service. It's going to be a little bit of a different one. We're going to have a little family time up here. We've got a lot of different people we're going to share. And I'm really looking forward to it. Let's pray and dedicate this service to the Lord and see what He has to say. Father in heaven, thank you so much for our time together. It's going to be wonderful to see everything, Lord, that you're going to do. And we can't wait to see this happen. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would move in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. And this mic over to you. Well, let's start with a few riddles, okay? And I'm going to give you 3 seconds to respond to these and see if you know the answers to these, okay? Are you ready? Moms, everyone can participate, okay? What did the mama volcano say to the baby volcano? 3, 2, 1.
Don't interrupt while I'm talking.
What did the mommy rope say to the baby rope? 3, 2, 1, go for it.
Don't be naughty.
Yes. Why, it's getting better, don't worry. Why did the cookie cry? Why did the cookie cry? Why did the cookie cry? 3, 2, 1.
Because his mother was away for so long.
Goodness. Why is a computer so smart? You probably know that this one. Everybody knows it. Why is the computer so smart? Because
it listens to its motherboard.
Yes. Wonderful. Why did the baby robot, what did the baby robot say to his mom?
I love you, Watson.
And finally, why did the baby Egyptian, what did the baby Egyptian, can't read this morning, what did the baby Egyptian say when he got lost?
I want my mummy.
Okay. Well, continue to pray for us this morning as we look into this word. The top 10 of motherhood. Top 10 of motherhood. The first one. If you want to be a wonderful mother, make time for the Father in prayer. Bible study, family, fellowship, and food. The scripture is this: blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. So, being a mom involves a lot. How do you cope? How do you cope? Well, by meditating on the Word of God. Well, one way to cope is to make sure you have your priorities right. And I want to lead this session off with a sister here in the fellowship. And she's going to share with us what she's learned about all of this. So let's listen to Amy as she shares a little bit more about what it means to be a mom.
Hi, everybody. This is Amy here. Been tasked with answering the question about what God has shown me about being a mom. What have I learned about faith, forgiveness, mercy, love, etc., and share a scripture. And at first, I was thinking this is quite the question, Pastor Tom. How can I fit an elephant into a coffee mug? There's just so much we learn as moms, and it's never ending. The learning is never ending. So if I were to pick one thing that has really been shown to me over and over again, that's grace. That is God's grace. And so the verse I'm sharing is from 2 Corinthians, verse chapter 12, verse 9. It is when Paul was writing about the thorn in his side that he had prayed over and over again for God to take away, but God did not. And I think it's really to show him this, that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And so being a mom has taught me my greatest lesson on grace, what it truly means to lean on God's grace. On the outside looking in, motherhood looks fun and full of cuddles and laughter and cuteness and all those things. And maybe you might even look neat. But that's only one small part of motherhood. Behind every social media worthy picture is a lot of heart-wrenching, patience-testing, fear-driven, anxiety-inducing, among other things, blocks that build each day of life as a mom and dad. But God, His grace is sufficient. From delivery room to homeschool room, I have not stopped leaning on His grace. The only way I can get through each day from feeling like I had nothing left in me is knowing and admitting I don't have the strength, love, patience to keep going. And in those moments of just being the most tired I have ever been, the most drained and overwhelmed and frustrated and all those things that I have ever been, when I am just on my knees wondering how I'm going to get through each day and just praying to God for help, those are the moments where He teaches me that His grace is enough, that He will bring me through it. And then God and I can pick me up again. And it is His strength that keeps me going day after day. And now after 3 children, we just keep going. And He's just taught me so much that motherhood isn't just about caring for children, feeding them and teaching them, but really it's about loving them and growing them into human beings who will in turn understand what grace means too. And that is my goal.
Wonderful, so cute. When fear, anxiety sets in. Amy's right. We need to be on our knees praying to God. His grace is sufficient, as it says in 2 Chronicles 12:9. It will pull us through, and it'll pull you through. What greater goal can we have than having our children thinking and acting like Christ? As she said, understanding His grace and His love and His mercy. Yes, it's good to be able to care for your kids, but there is that higher goal. So thank you for achieving that higher goal. Another point on the top 10, number 2, is open, unconditional love and respect. For the wife to encourage the husband, primarily. Good parents are those that have a good relationship with each other. A good marriage is good parenting. It starts with the marriage first. So, as it says in Ephesians 5:33, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and a wife must respect her husband. So I wanted to ask my wife, what are some of the do's and don'ts when it comes to love and respect your husband, whether it's in private or whether it's in public? Can you give us some of the do's and don'ts for a few minutes?
Okay. Do praise him in public and private. They may look a little embarrassed, but really inside they love it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, correct kindly, because we don't want to be those quarrelsome wives that make our husbands want to go up on the corner of the roof, and then the neighbors say, what are you doing that in the corner of your roof, you know? And basically, like with any other good, valuable relationship, you know, the relationship is worth more than the quarrel.
And besides, remember, we've got these masks now, and if the husband doesn't like what you're saying, he may just like tape a mask to your mouth and nobody can hear you. So you don't want that to happen either. Don't criticize, even put down direct or subtle. You know how some women can do those subtle digs and stuff, or shame them in public. Now it's getting really bad because public, like, yeah, nobody wants to lose face in public, no matter what culture you're from. And if you disagree in public, man, you're going to hear about it in private. So you don't want to do that. Now, what happens if there is something inaccurate and they, like, the others need to know the truth? You can smile and just say, yes, and then, like, tell the true part. And I think people will get it without you putting them down. We also want to respect his privacy. Don't tell what he considers too much to others. And I know when we were first married, we had a lot to learn about that because I came from a very public family. His is more private. And so I'd be saying, yeah, and there's this and this and this. And my husband's like, oh, you know. And like when we would do our newsletters from overseas, I'd be telling all kinds of stuff. And then he'd come and edit it and you'd see censor, 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 censor. But now we've actually had role reversal. I've learned it well enough that I've cut so much out that he actually says, hey, we need to add this and that. So then you know you're doing it right. Watch our words. We may not mean offense, but if they're taking it that way, then I guess it's up to them to tell us so we know. But then once they tell us, yeah, cut that word out. Don't use it anymore. And you want to show appropriate affection and being romantic. You can be all out at home, just all romantic and love notes everywhere. Put I love you on the mirror, all this kind of stuff. Not to look at yourself for him to look at. And then, you want to be tasteful and cute in public. Don't overdo it. But people really like that. I know our international student friends that always go, aw. And they just love that. And just like, and so, yeah, and your kids, man, they see that. It makes them feel security in the home, and they like it too. So, yeah, that's it. Mm.
Julie has helped me quite a bit in being more of an open person, because I am more on the private side. It's been great, because we need to be more transparent within reason. So I appreciate that. Number three, in terms of how we can be better mothers, and on your notes, it says, teach us by word, action, and prayer. Humble and willing to admit your mistakes. Oh, that's so important. Willing to admit your mistakes. We all make mistakes. But humility is important. And also teaching by the word. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I remember when we kids were small, we used to often take lots of walks in the park and things like that. We love nature, and we just, this, what do we do as a family? And one of the wonderful things we would do is when we would see something wonderful, you know, like a bird or a flower or something like that, you know, we would say things like, wow, isn't God good? I mean, how does the bird, know to take the worm out of the grass and then, you know, sort of put it in his mouth and then sort of fly back to the nest? I mean, how does the bird know where the nest is? There's a lot of trees out there, you know? I mean, good grief. How does a bird know where to go home? And so we'd have these little discussions with our kids, and they go, wow, I don't know. Where does he know? Or how does he know? Where is the home? And we'd say, well, you know, God made the bird that way. And so we would sort of help cultivate a sense of God's sensitivity in the child. And that's the point. Cultivate a God sensitivity in the child. It says in Romans Chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature has been clearly seen, being made understood, for what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And then listen to this, guys. For although they knew God, they didn't neither glorify him or give thanks, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the image made to look like mortal man, birds and animals and reptiles. So The reason they weren't able to honor God is because they lost that sense of tenderness, that sense of thanksgiving. So cultivate that sense of a thanksgiving and appreciation for God. And continue to develop that relationship as you go to church or you go to your small groups or whatever as an example. Because what greater thing than a mom that can say, like my mom did at her 90th birthday party, the room was filled with 150 people, and my mom got up, and the very last thing she said was, "I'm grateful that my kids are healthy and everything's going well, but the one thing my mom has so said that was so important, she said that my kids are following God." And I think that's the one most wonderful legacy any mom can give. Amen. So keep on keeping on. Use the word of God and cultivate that sense of God sensitivity. Number four, has time to play and have fun with their children, often watching their activities. You know, there's an old saying in parenting. It's a classic saying, probably number one, rules without a relationship equal rebellion. Rules without a relationship equal rebellion. We've all been there, we know about that, and we've all seen it. So in John 10:10, it says, "I have come that you might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." So as a parent, it's sometimes so hard to know what to do with your child, especially when the media, right, is so accessible. It's easy to just pop in a VeggieTales and just vegetate, or just put some video game in front of your kids, and all of a sudden the media becomes the parent. Well, you don't want the media to become the parent. You don't want them to babysit your kids. Well, you know, how do you have this sense of fun with the kids? And my wife is really great at this, so I've asked her to share some things that we've done and how to create this sense of relationship with your children. So, Julie, can you share about that, too?
Yeah, I love it. When your kids are around, you have kids, then you've got an excuse to play, because mm-hmm. we don't stop playing when we get older. We get older because we stop playing. So whatever they like to do, just join in. You know, sit on the swings with them. Mm-hmm. Go down the slide with them, even if the slide's a little narrow, you know, you can mm-hmm. get down it. Mm-hmm. But they're playing dolls, you play dolls with them, have a tea party, mm-hmm. Play sports, even tunnels, you know, those little tunnels, if you can fit through it, just follow them, it'll make them laugh. And mm-hmm. be creative about fun, you know, when space is limited. When we lived in Turkey, we had this long hallway that our friends nicknamed the bowling alley. So we decided, okay, let's do it. And, you know, I used to play two balloon volley with our younger son, and we'd see how long we could keep the two balloons in the air and run up and down the hall. And then there was hallway soccer, you know, where each end was the goal. And, you know, when we were in Indonesia and we just had this like little space, and we put a one of those little basketball things. Mm-hmm. You could tape it to the wall, and we created room basketball, and mm-hmm. you know, with different things. And if it hit the rim, it was a rimmer worth 2 points. If it went in, 3 points. If it hit the backboard, it was one. And you know, all kind of cool stuff like that. And we all played together. Adventures. Make sure you have adventures with your kids, because that's what they're going to remember and what you remember. Like walking in the rain, when we got caught in a rainstorm in Indonesia and wet season. And I said to our 5-year-old son at the time, I said, "Look, we're going to take an outdoor shower." And he's like, "Cool, outdoor shower." You know, in the meantime, my husband's running for all his life to get in out of the rain. But we were like, "Outdoor shower," you know, playing around. And when the summer gets really hot, like in South Carolina, and it finally starts to rain, hallelujah, you just get out there and say, "Rain," and then you just run around the house saying, "Rain, rain, thank you, Lord," or run up and down the street. These are adventures, exploring new trails. This is the best. Like you're going along and you have no idea where a trail's going to lead, go down it. And then when your husband says, "Where does this go?" you just say, "I don't know, that's what makes it so fun." And he's like, "I don't know about this." But yeah, that's what the kids remember. Also, when the work comes, because it will come, make it fun for both of you. You cook together. Okay, so it takes a little longer. It's a bit of a mess. But they're going to remember cooking with you. baking, even cleaning. You know, I'd run around and I would say, clean up for Jesus, you know, and we'd be like cleaning. And then, you know, just be buddies, even when it's time for them to get ready for bed. And they're kind of reluctant, say, okay, let's be brushing buddies. And then you're brushing buddies. And when our son came home the last time in college and he was wanting to come in, you know, get ready, I said, okay, Joe, you come on in. We'll be brushing buddies. And he laughed, you know, the kid's like 21 by this time. But, you know, yeah, these are the things they remember. Create together. We did create games together. Songs, skits, artwork, whatever it is you guys are good at. Create it together. When we were staying at hotels, you know, a lot of times, every time pretty much, we had this game, it was called the used game, and we'd just start saying from our beds, used whatever, used chairs, used this, used that. It was great. And then we'd sing, make up songs. You want to be their biggest fan at their games and performances. Don't be obnoxious. Don't start hollering at the coach and saying, that's my kid, you know, and all like that. Let someone else say that. But yeah, be their biggest fan.
Well, speaking about performances, the youth got together last night and put together a wonderful video of worshiping God. And I hope that you will hear this. It's a way of worshiping God in testimony and how moms really have affected their own lives. So listen to this. And I hope, moms, you're really blessed. You've raised wonderful kids. You really have. And Julie and I it's a real joy to get to know them. So hear from their heart how you've really affected their lives. Watch this.
Dear Mom, thank you for cooking me meat.
Dear Mom, thank you for helping around the house. Dear Mom, bye.
Dear Mom, thank you for driving me everywhere.
Dear Mom, thank you for investing so much in my education.
Dear Mom, thank you for being concerned for me and telling me to go to sleep early.
Dear Mom, thank you for believing in me.
Dear God, I thank you
for giving
me a great mom.
Dear Mom, thank you for waking up every morning to send me to school.
Dear Mom, thank you for always being so responsible.
Dear Mom, thank you for caring about me when I'm down.
I
love
my
mother
very much.
Happy
Mother's
Day.
3, 2, 1.
Way to go, moms. You did it. You have done it. One student commented, maybe you didn't hear that. She says, thank you, Mom, for believing in me. Thank you for believing in your kids. Love never fails. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. So way to go, Mom. Don't grow weary of doing good. Keep on keeping on. You're doing it. You're doing it. And we can see the fruits right there. Number 5, encourages her kids to do their best. Loves them unconditionally. It says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It takes sacrifice, doesn't it? Well, in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he won't depart from it. So, you have praise, and then you also have correction. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to have a balance between the two. Praise and correction. How do you know when to do what? Sometimes it's easy to go from one extreme to the other. You know, there is that balance. So how do you overcome this? And we're going to talk about this for just a second. Judah's going to talk about sort of more of the praise part, and I'll talk more about the correction part. You know, it's what dads do, so to speak. So would you lead us off, Julie? And what Julie's a great encourager. I'm not trying to flatter her this right now. That's just her gift. It's just the way God made her. She's really good at encouraging kids. It takes me a lot of effort to do that. So tell us, share about how to encourage your kids in an honest way. Yeah.
Tell them what they're doing right. I mean, just start off with that. Some kids, all that they ever hear from their parents, what you do wrong, and they're nothing. You know, that's sad. You don't want your kid to grow up and say, well, the only time I ever heard from my mom or dad was when I was doing something wrong. But, yeah, tell them what they're doing right. And when you need to challenge them, when they're not doing what they need to do, some of them respond well to a kind of a challenge, a competition. So, with our more strong-willed son, when he needed to drink his milk or drink, you know, whatever he needed to for his meal, I'd say, all right, we're going to have a race. Ready? Commence drinking.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, I won. Actually, I won. Huh? But and then if we have to correct them, do what I call a correction sandwich, where you sandwich it between praise. Now, the thing is our attitude is key. Our attitude, their attitude. So we're working on their attitude because they may be, you know, sitting down on the outside but standing up on the inside in terms of, you know, where their heart is. So, you know, you want to work on their attitude, care about their attitude, your attitude when you're doing a correction. So, for example, you don't want to say, man, your writing looks like chicken tracks. It stinks, you know, I can't read anything. You want to say, you know, good job on working here. You're doing great. But let me suggest a way that you can write more clearly. Or, you know, you don't just say, man, your room looks like a cyclone struck it. You know, what you can say is, hey, you know, I see that you're working on keeping your room clean. It looks better than last time. And here's some ways that we can organize it. And then when you see that they're making an effort, you reward them for it. Wow, that really, you're getting somewhere. Because they're going to respond to that, and it's like, wow, you know, I think I will keep my room organized so the cockroaches don't pack up their suitcases and leave. So you want to spur them on to love and good works, as it says in Hebrews 10:24. And this is key. Their best is the best, you know, and because we're encouraging them to do their best, not someone else's best. You know, in when you're doing training for long distance running or track, we had what was called personal best. And it wasn't that we were comparing ourselves to the number one, although we would like to be, but our coach was just concerned about getting our personal best better. And that was the thing we're comparing to. And, you know, the thing is, you make it clear in a positive way what they're capable of, if they put their mind to it. And I know with both our kids, when they put their mind to something, it really gets done, and it gets done well. So sometimes I just have to remind them, you know, when you put your mind to it, I know you're going to do really, really well. Because there's a fine line between expecting the best and being dissatisfied. And so you want to show them in that positive way that you are expecting the best, and they're going to rise up to it. And, you know, the next thing is that you want to be in their corner, so to speak, when the world's against them and they come dragging in and people, maybe the kids have made fun of them or a teacher has put them down. You don't want to say, man, that's your fault. You know, you blew it. No, you want to do like Tom's mom, she always says, she says, you know, you're all right. The world's all wrong. And I always like that. Not that the world is so terrible, but, you know, I'm sure her kids felt free to tell her what was going on because they weren't afraid of getting blamed. They knew she could support them. And same thing. And finally, be patient. Remember how patient God has to be with us. And so when we think about that, we want to be patient with our kids.
You know, Julie, I love that. You know, their best is their best. Their personal best. And it may not be what you want them to be, but at least they're trying. Let me ask you a question. Are you a mom who disagrees sometimes, and you need to disagree sometimes? Or are you a disagreeable mom? You see the difference? A mom who disagrees sometimes, or a disagreeable mom. Be a mom who disagrees sometimes. loves more than disagrees, but don't be a disagreeable one. Don't be known as being disagreeable. Okay, good. Keep on keeping on. You're doing well.
Yeah, just one quick thing I forgot to mention, just because this is so important. We want to make it clear that our love is not attached to their performance.
Good point.
Or obedience, especially when we have to discipline them, because they're going to think, man, you know, I can't go to my parents. And then it bleeds over to God. You know, if I blow it, I'm out. You know, and we don't want to do that. Our love is there no matter what.
Amen. Yeah, good point. Good point. It's based on the position, not upon your performance. Number six, rules with compassion, grace, and fairness, and then lovingly disciplines. So let's talk about discipline for just a second. You know, the best way to parent is to parent like God parents, right? God wants to parent through parents. That's what families are all about. It's about the father wanting to father through the mother and through the father. So how does God discipline? Well, he lays it out very clearly. Let's listen to this, okay? This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, okay? And this is right before Joshua, he was going to go, or Moses was going to go into the promised land. Of course, Joshua led him in. Moses was 120 years old, and he's saying some of his final words to the children of Israel. They're just about ready to go in the promised land, and Joshua's going to lead them, and he says this from the Lord. He says this in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God, walk in his ways and keep his commandments, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to the other gods and worship them, I declare this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan and enter to possess. And then God says, with all the love that he could possibly muster up, he says this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. The Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in this land. He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you hear the heartbeat of God right now, brothers and sisters? He says to the children, he says, look, you got two paths before you. You got this path. If you go down this path, this is what's going to happen. If you go down this path, this is what's going to happen. It's your choice. I'm trying to spare you pain and suffering. Please choose life. So you lead by sharing the choices and the consequences of those choices. As they say, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose its consequences. So just warn them. If you do this, this is going to happen. If you do this, this is going to happen. I hope you don't hurt yourself. I hope you don't punish yourself. I'm not punishing you. The life's not punishing you. You're punishing you, you know, by walking the way you want. I love you, and I want the best for you. So choose life. So lead with consequences, or lead with the choices of those consequences. And you have a time out, you rejoin privileges, those kinds of things. And you have the positive motivation, too, where you reward your kids for doing good, okay? So that's just a few tips on that. There's a lot more to say about that, but let's go on. Number seven, health. This is really important, right? Moms are interested in making sure kids are eating healthy and getting their vegetables and all of that. So the principle number seven is exercising and eating the right kinds and amounts of food and going on vacations. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says this, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. As we mentioned last week, you're not your own. Your bodies are not your own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So as they say, no time for your health today means no health for your time tomorrow, right? You got to take care of yourself. So should we all become vegetarians? you know, how do you eat right? Well, I'm going to turn this over to my wife again and share with us, you know, some health tips for a few minutes here.
All right. So yeah. You want me to get to the meat of the subject?
Yes, yes. All or right. To the tofu of the subject.
All right, all right.
I love tofu.
Okay, yeah. So we have a saying in our family, the family that sweats together sticks together.
Or working together.
So we're, you know, exercise and, mm-hmm. again, have a good time with that. Mm-hmm. I've always been known for healthy food in the family. Mm-hmm. Our son used to tease me about my 0% sugar cakes and cookies and stuff. You know, to eat your veggies, you know, your greens. And again, you know, that one son did not like anything that was the color green, but we'd get him to eat, you know, a little bit of this and that. But here's the interesting thing. That same son, when he went off to college, started right then to go to the salad bar. So you train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, they don't depart from it. I mean, he could have ate anything there. But he went for the salad bar,
yes.
And he makes spinach smoothies, and it's like so cool, you know, that he's doing that stuff, and, you know, and he will not eat sweets at all. He likes my 0% sugar, man, that is sweet. So, you know, you want to make sure to get out for those walks and the hikes and the sports and all of that, and one thing that we always did was we'd say, let's go down by the power lines. Maybe that wasn't so healthy. I mean, think about the power lines. But when we were living at the campus of seminary and we had our kids with us, you know, that was just a place to go out there, play football, mm-hmm. play, you know, whatever, and gather other kids. And it was a way to encourage other families to do that as well when they saw that. So we do need vacations, yes, and sometimes, yeah, that seems to fall to the mom to remind the dad that, yes, we need a vacation. Mm. Leave your computer at home.
Yes.
Put your phone on mute, and we're going to have a real vacation. And we're going to plan it. We're going to anticipate it. We're going to go camping. We're going to do whatever it takes. Doesn't have to be expensive. Just something that the kids will remember. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's often the cheaper ones that they have the best time with, because you're not all centered in on the quote entertainment and the big stuff. You're centered in on the relationship and the time that you're having together on that vacation, when you can focus on having a good time together and creating the memories and not focus on all the stuff that comes up in our busy lives. And it's not just waiting for the big vacation of the year, it's also, you know, the daily break. Okay, everybody, let's get up and do whatever, you know, some fun thing. Mm-hmm. Let's go over to the gym or over to the basketball hoop and shoot a few mm-hmm. before we go back to our homework or something. You know, those short breaks, the longer breaks. Basically, yeah, we want to relate and create. Don't vegetate. You know, this mm-hmm. is a time for building our health so we have the healthy body, the healthy mind, the healthy relationships that we need.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And those things are very related to one another. The mind, the body, and the spirit. We talked about those last time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jesus exercised. Did you ever think about that? I mean, Jesus exercised. What did he do? He walked everywhere. He walked with his disciples. So, you know, that's a very important thing. And schedule that into your life. Number eight. Got a few more left. Number eight. Organized. Good mom and good dad. I mean, these apply to parenting in general. It's not just for the mom. But a good parent organizes, plans, leads, troubleshoots, evaluates, manages the Lord's money. It says in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent bring plenty. As surely as haste leads to poverty, be diligent. If you what? If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail, as the old saying goes. So who manages the money in your house? This is a really practical presentation this morning. Okay, who manages the money in your house? Somebody needs to do it. Do you have a budget? Do you know where the money is going? If you don't know where the money is going, well, you need to document it. You need to have some paper trails. Okay, money is a huge stress problem on a relationship. Okay, if you need help, we can help you. There's people here that can help you with the budget. Let me know. Who does the house cleaning? How about the chores? Do you give your children responsibility? You know, Harvard University, I remember reading an article of when they receive applicants, you know, for the university. And what they really like is obviously the grades and the leadership and all of that. But a lot of these Ivy League schools and other colleges, they really appreciate the students' experiences like babysitting. Honest to God, I mean, they like to see students been involved with kids and babysitting and things like that because it teaches them organizational skills. It teaches them leadership skills, caring skills, problem-solving skills, critical thinking skills. And so when you're organized, your kids are organized, and that will set them up for a wonderful life of being orderly. So keep on keeping on in that area. Number nine, open to receive help from trusted advisors. Now, this can be a hard one because sometimes we don't want to receive help, especially the older we get. Seeking wisdom and is teachable. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety." And that's true with anything. You think of the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're God, but there's a triune God. Remember in Genesis, let us make man in our image. There's this divine dialogue going on, right? So one of the best decisions are made in groups. There's safety in numbers. So sometimes it's hard to admit you need help. You feel sort of shameful sometimes. Oh man, you know, I should have known that or whatever. So how does one get over the feeling of being a needy person? Now, Julie's really quick to ask for help, and I've appreciated it about her for many years. So as a woman, you know, how do you handle that, you know, just being willing to get help?
Yeah, well, you know, when you have humility and teachability, remember that Jesus himself said that he was humble, gentle in heart.
Good point.
Gentle and humble in heart. So, yeah, I mean, you know, if God's going to do that, we're not any better than God. So we want to have that. We can always learn, especially when we're not experts, get the experts. I know when I had our first son, I had a lot of experience. I had just got my master's and from the seminary, you know, well-educated, but there were no courses there on what to do with your baby in terms of practical stuff. I mean, I did have biblical parenting, but this was like, okay, I don't know what to do with this. As the youngest of the youngest. So we had a lady in our church plant, and she knew how to parent. She didn't have a whole lot of education, but she knew how to parent. She'd raised kids, done it well. So when she took our little David into her arms, and, you know, she would do this and that, and then she would tell me, okay, Julie, now you need to do this and you need to do that. And I'd say, okay, thanks. And one day she came up to me and she said, I can't believe it. She said, you're the first person I've ever given this much advice to that's just accepted it without question. You don't get mad. You don't tell me to bug off and mind your own business. You just say, sure. And I said, well, Jane, you know what you're doing. You have experience. I don't. So, of course, I'm going to listen to the expert. No brainer there. It's really no shame to ask for help. We all need help in some area. That's just to show again that we're not God, we're not perfect. But yeah, be careful who you ask. So for example, if you got somebody you know that's good at cooking, yeah, ask them. Like my mom and my adopted Christian mom both taught me a lot of practical stuff. So of course I'm going to go to them for that. Like how to make a pie, how to do turkey, how to make a spaghetti and meatballs. My mama, she grew up in Italian Catholic neighborhood and got a great recipe. And I tell you, it stood me in good stead because that's how I caught my Italiana husband, you know, with the spaghetti and meatballs. So they would say, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So, man, you know, I definitely got that advice right. I never went to my aunt. My aunt made lead balls that could have been used in a cannon for matzo balls, so, you know, I didn't go to her for cooking. Mentoring, remember that the older women do teach the younger, so that's why I was always going to my adopted Christian mom for spiritual stuff, because that's a role in my life. Again, if you may not have a person, but there's podcasts, there's blogs, there's magazines, there's radio. I remember my adopted Christian mom always listening to Focus on the Family, and then we started to do that too, and you know, that's a mentoring thing. Mm-hmm. So we can get taught in many ways. Mm.
Yes, you know, we prepare a lot for our careers, right? And we go through a lot of pain and a lot of expense. But how much do we prepare for our parenting or for our marriages and how much more important they are? So if you need counseling, get it, okay? And we need to continue to do the very best we can with one of the most important jobs in the world. The last one for today. Oh, there's so many others. But the last one in the top 10, and these are not necessarily in order, but that's this. Be dependable. A good mom is dependable. She guides, she provides, she protects, just like the dad. She keeps promises and is honest. Two very important things to parenting, and I hope you'll never forget this. Admit your mistakes and keep your promises. It's all through the Bible. We just talked about that in looking at the covenants. In Deuteronomy 31:8, it says this, the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Psalm 31:8. Memorize it, Mom. Memorize it. As James mentioned, you know, perfect love casts out fear and will remove that anxiety that we all have in our hearts. Well, marriage and family is learning a lot about what God is. That's the purpose of family. It's the purpose of marriage, to learn about what God is like. That's why God designed family. That's why he designed marriage. He goes before us. And God is a wonderful example of his presence. And in what way does this happen, though? In what way do we learn about God? Let's listen to one more testimony this morning. Let's listen to Jane, as she how she expresses this, of what she's learning about God. Watch this.
Here's my response to the question from Pastor Tom about what I've learned about being a mother. Parenthood has definitely shown me the stark reality of our sinful nature. And I also see that our natural inclination is to rebel and choose what we feel is best for ourselves. When Micah deliberately disobeys me, it's a parallel to when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, and also a parallel to when I willfully choose to disobey God and sin. I see my sin so clearly, and how desperately I am in need of a Savior because of that. But parenthood has also given me great insight on the Father's love and his forgiveness. In Matthew 7:11, it says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" My love for my children is only but a tiny fraction of the kind of unconditional love that God offers. My ability to be patient and forgiving towards my children is only but a glimpse of God's grace and mercy. And we all need God's grace and perfect mercy to reconcile with God. I do thank God for my children. They are a lot of work, but give me such great joy. And they also help me to understand the Father's unfailing love towards mankind.
Jane's right. You know, parenting helps us find out more about ourselves, as she mentioned, the stark realities of our sinful behavior. We don't realize how selfish we are until we get married, and then when we get parenting, then we really know. I mean, we know we're selfish. We don't realize how selfish we really are when we have to deal with this in relationships. But that's good. That self-awareness is good. But it's not just to find out more about ourselves, but also about the Heavenly Father in so many ways. As she mentioned in Matthew 7:11, if our Father knows how to give good gifts, if we know how to give good gifts and we're evil, can you imagine how good God is? Because he's perfectly good and he knows how to give the best gifts of all. So the learning experiences that our sister had been learning about love and patience and mercy and grace, she says is only a small fraction, and I love the way she said that, only a small fraction of his. What you're experiencing now is just the appetizer. It's even less than an appetizer of the main meal of the character and the attributes of God. And marriage and family helps us understand this. We can now choose what is best for, not just for ourselves, but we can choose what's best for our wonderful Savior. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Hope your family makes this a very special day for you. And students, one thing that I got to share from Exodus 20 as we conclude. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Do what you can to show honor and appreciation for them today. I know you're going to do a good job. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for our time together. Thank you for these wonderful testimonies to my sisters in Christ, my wife as well. And thank you. Thank you for how you have spoken to them this morning. There, we covered a lot of material. But Lord, thank you for the truth. There's a lot of help out there. And Father, as the worship team shares one last song for us, touch our hearts. Touch the moms' hearts. Lord, I just pray that moms will be moms of loyalty, never fail, doesn't seek their own, endures and hopes. I pray that our moms will be moms of unity. They'll be patient, forgiving, not angered quickly, and humble. I pray that our moms and dads and all of us will be very kind-hearted, compassionate, empathetic, considerate, and not envious of others. That we might be encouraging, challenging, yes, but very encouraging, rejoicing with the truth. And as one student says, believing for the best in others, in our children. And also sacrificial. May our moms be sacrificial. For God so loved the world that he gave, and he gave beyond hurting because his heart was in it. And may moms continue to give and give and give, even when it hurts. May they continue to give and give. May your sustaining grace, as Amy said, be with us in Jesus' name. And finally, may their love be unconditional. May they love not because or if, but because you are my son or you are my daughter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.